And being with you, my time flies, doesn't it? It's good to be with you. Rejoice in the Lord. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord, and to gather in His precious name again. I was thinking today while we were together, we would take a book and look at it in the Word, take a book and look at it together. Let's look at 1 John, shall we? The book of 1 John. We'd like to take this book and just look at it together the time that we have. Let's look at chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's notice just the first two verses of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's note chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit or practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Then chapter 4, looking at verse 8. Chapter 4, looking at verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God, shown the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And also chapter 5, the fifth chapter. And here we would like to notice, if you would, verse 10. Verse 10, where we read in chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word, and shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your love to us through Christ our Lord. What a joy it is to gather in that wonderful, precious name today. The name that is above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus. The one who died, was buried, rose again, coming back again. We thank you for each one here. Each one who knows you as his own personal Savior. And we pray your richest blessing upon each and every one. To be one who knows not the Savior. May that one receive the Lord Jesus Christ today. And we just pray that you'll keep each one safe in the precious arms of Jesus. We thank you for your love and blessing and sustaining grace to each and every one. We pray for those who are in need, those who are sick and have special needs. We pray for the needy peoples of the world. Father, we pray for so many people around the world that are suffering. We think of those over in India and Bangladesh, in those areas that have been so brought down by floods and are so suffering at this time. Be with them. Lift them up and sustain them. Lead us in the way everlasting. Guide us in the things of our Lord. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to take the book of 1 John and look at it and just look at some of the great truths that we find in the book. There's so many wonderful truths. It's a marvelous book. And we notice we read of these things. It speaks to us of these truths, these things that we have in the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And we'd like to just notice some of these wonderful things we have together. First of all, let's notice, if we would, verse 4 of chapter 1. Verse 4 of chapter 1, as we would look at this tremendous truth we believe concerning our Lord. Notice verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is one of the great truths in this wonderful book, that your joy may be full. The Bible speaks of joy. You know, joy is one of a lot of kindred words used that speak of the peace we have with the Lord because our sins are taken away. It's that inner being that we know that all is well with our soul, and we can fellowship with the Lord, and we have joy, gladness. All of these words used together speaking of that wonderful state we're in because the blood has been shed. I'm glad I'm saved today, aren't you? My sins are taken away, and that I have that joy and that peace that takes away all these things that keep us from the Lord. We have joy. And you know, also I've noticed in this, I believe it's associated with happiness. Because happiness is the same word sometimes translated blessed. Because we read in the first Psalm, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." He doesn't sit in the way of sinners, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We are delighted that we're saved and we know the Lord. We have a great joy in the Lord Jesus. And we remember the Sermon on the Mount, which has to do with the kingdom age. But, oh, dear friend, we have many blessings now in the Lord Jesus. And it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Isn't it joyful? Isn't it wonderful to be sitting here in the presence, that we can be in the presence of God and know the joy in Christ Jesus? It's happiness, it's blessedness, it's joy that we have in the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful indeed it is. It tells us here that your joy may be full. And the Christian has something above this world, beyond this world, that the world cannot take away. He says that your joy may be full. I trust each one is a Christian today, knowing the Lord, that you are living a life of joy. The problems will come. The sorrows of life come with everyone. Everyone that lives any length of time in this life will realize there are sorrows, there are sadnesses in this world. They will come, but thank the Lord that we have a joy, a peace, that abides, that goes above this world and the problems of this world and the trials that might come in this world. We have that joy. And you have it, dear friend, and just enjoy it and bless the Lord in His joy. I was in a bookstore yesterday, and the lady was talking about the blessings of the Lord. Seek His blessings. Well, I thought to myself, I didn't say it, but all these blessings are ours anyway. We have them in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are raised, seated in the Lord Jesus in the wonder that He gives. He gives us these things that your joy may be full. Now, this is associated with many things. Notice chapter 1. Here it's associated with what we have. Notice verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now the word of the life, or word of life, is the Lord Jesus. He is that one. And it says, for the life was manifested. The word manifested is used in this epistle many times. Shown. It's shown to us. We see it through revelation. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Look at the many things we have. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, notice, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What a fellowship! What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. We have a fellowship, and that's what it is. A fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we rejoice in the Lord. Now, dear friend, we see from this that this was something that men had seen. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen the nail prints in His hand. They were eyewitnesses of these things. It's real. They had seen His side, which the spear had pierced. I was thumbing through a book of great paintings recently, and I noticed the most beautiful painting there. Lovely. But it was called Doubting Thomas by one of the great masters. And Thomas was looking so intently as the Lord was showing him His side. The picture is almost like you're there. Like you can see it, and you can reach out and you can touch them. Dear friend, these things actually happen. We have seen by faith the Lord Jesus and the blessings that He gives to us. I heard an old evangelist one time say that he liked to hear preachers use good English, and that was really important, to use good English. But he said if it came to a choice between a preacher that was preaching the gospel and the truths of the Word of God, and maybe his English wasn't so good, and someone who preached the most polished English that you could think of, but yet wasn't preaching the gospel, he said he would take the man with the poorest English and hear him preach the gospel and bring out the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said he'd rather hear him say he seen it when he had really seen something than to hear him say he saw it when he ain't seen nothing. And you know, that's a lot of truth in that. You know, the old preacher was right. Oh, dear friend, we've seen something. This is real. This is true. Jesus came from heaven. He lived and walked upon this earth. He died. He was buried. He rose again. It's true. It's as the songwriter said, it's real. Thank God it's real. The doubts are settled. Praise God, dear friend, it is real. And we have a real life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Paul on the road to Damascus. It was real. It was true. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and had come to know Him. I hate to think of it, but my high school class had its 50th reunion. I wasn't able to go. I'd been away. I wasn't able to go to it. But I thought, it goes back 50 years. But I was reading some of the things. They got a book out, and they put each one of our names in there, where we lived, education, what we were doing, and so forth, and some of the comments that we had made and that we had done. Now, I was reading them, and I came upon one fella, and you know what he wrote on his? Now, before that, I better tell you something that happened in the 1970s. I would say about the middle 1970s. I was in Raleigh. My wife were, and a man ran me down. And he said, are you Tommy Steele? I said, yes. He told me, well, we went to high school together. And you know, we had a real talk, and he says, you know, I thought y'all were way out there, that what you were talking about the Lord Jesus, it was something nobody else knew about. It was something off and like that. And you know, he said, I came to find out it's the Bible. It's the truth. It's what everybody should believe. And I talked with him, and he had, I believe, been saved. He'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And you know what he wrote in that entry on his name? The most unusual thing that had happened to him was this: my encounter with Jesus Christ. I believe it was real. I really did. I mean, it was real. He had heard all of these things. He had heard about them. But one day, I believe, in seeing the gospel that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And my mind went back to 1938, when I was just a young lad, saw myself a sinner, that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he washed my sins away. Isn't it wonderful today, dear friend? And you look back with me with that day when Jesus washed your sins away, and you realize that you needed to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is real. This is true. Dear friend, we go through life, and like one brother used to always say, it gets gooder and gooder, doesn't it? It just gets more wonderful as the days go by. And the years come and go, but I look back to that day when Jesus washed my sins away. And oh, dear friend, that's the joy of it. Looking in the faces of many of you, and you look back to that day when you got saved. Never been the same again, because you came face to face with a Savior who died. Dear friend, this is what this book is talking about, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. This is real. This is actual. This is true. It is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from heaven to this world to save a lost and dying world. Praise the Lord for it. It's the wonder salvation story in the Word of God. Now, it tells us in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we notice that fellowship is very prominent. The word fellowship is very important in the book of 1 John. You know, it is a funny thing, things that stick with you through life. I heard so many of the older brethren in past years who preached so marvelously the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them comes to mind, APG, Alfred P. Gibbs, a perfect gentleman. That's what he said it stood for. But he was an outstanding speaker, and it blessed my heart many, many times. But I never will forget his definition of fellowship. I've never seen a better definition of fellowship. You know, it comes from a word meaning coin. It comes from a word, a coin, which is passed from one to another, something common that we have all together. But he said this: fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. Two fellows in the same ship. Dear friend, we're all in the same boat. If you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're saved the same way I was saved, the same way every child of Adam is saved, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one gospel, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one book. And it goes down to one way, one truth, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have everlasting life, and our fellowship is with the Lord. One thing I appreciate so much is the fellowship we have together in the Lord. It's real fellowship, dear friend. It's priceless. It's a joy in the Lord Jesus, and this is only possible because we've been saved and we know our Lord. Fellowship. And, you know, as we think about this fellowship, it's also interesting to know that we have fellowship not only with the Lord, but we have fellowship one with another. Now, you'll notice that it tells us in verse 7, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light. Now, in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, the truth is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of the Word of God. And it says there, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, some people will call your hand even in life if what you say is not true. I remember speaking at one of the chapels up in Massachusetts some years ago. I believe it was around Lexington. And they took me on some of those tours, and I enjoyed it. And I believe one place we went was the statue of the Minuteman. And we know the great story of our nation and those men who rode and the triumphs that was given in our history of our nation. But he was showing this statue. And then the guy, it was a wonderful speech. He did so well. He said, you know, you'll notice if you'll step around and see that the man is cross-eyed. Well, you know, there was this guy in the tour. He goes around there and he looks at the man for a few minutes, and then he shouts out, he isn't cross-eyed. And then I went around there and looked, and he didn't look like he was cross-eyed to me either, but I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything at all, and everybody just moved on through the tour, and on it went. But, you know, truth is truth, and right is right, and wrong is wrong, and we've come to the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the joy of it, to know the Lord Jesus. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I fail a lot. How about you as a Christian? I believe we all fail. We do not always succeed in everything. But thank God we're not what we were. And we're a new creation in the Lord Jesus. He cleans us up, washes us from our sins, and makes us a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say anything, but somebody was telling me down in Siler City about a fellow grown up, and he's not saved to this day. And somebody said, I can't understand why he isn't saved. I didn't say a word, but I thought if my parents had been like his parents, I don't know if I'd have been saved either. I thank God when you can come up in a godly home, you can come and see that Jesus Christ is all and in all the glory and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's real. It's true. We have fellowship, not with darkness, but with the Lord. But it says this, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Did you notice that? One with another? Not only fellowship with the Lord, but we have fellowship one with another. You know, we can't get along with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something wrong. Isn't that right? If our fellowship is all right up yonder, we'll be able to fellowship down here with the Lord's people to the glory of the Lord. Remember Harold McKay from Greensboro, North Carolina. I heard him speak many times. He had a great effect upon me as a young man as I heard the many wonderful truths that he brought out. He's with the Lord today. But Harold McKay said something also I've never forgotten. He said, now don't you try to be a lone eagle. And he was using, of course, the metaphor of the eagle that flies high, lives a lonely a life, can see for miles, is a marvelous bird, but lives to itself. He said, now don't you as a Christian try to be a lone eagle. Never forgotten. He said, you might end up being a buzzard. I don't want to be a spiritual buzzard, do you? Not at all. I want not to be a lone eagle. I want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Himself fellowshiped with men. He walked with them. He talked with them. The common people heard Him gladly. He mixed with people in the crowds and in the throngs. He cared for the souls of men. He healed the lame, the dumb, the blind. He held the children upon his lap. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And truly we say, dear friend, if we love the Lord as you do, we love one another and we fellowship in the joy of the Lord. Vance Abner was a preacher from Carolina with the Lord for many years, but said many things that were quite humorous. And he said this one time. He said, if no little child ever warms up to you, or no little puppy or no little dog ever comes up to you, he said, you'd better get on your knees, brother. You better get on your knees, because we need to be warm-hearted. We need to be approachable. We need to be, as you are, loving in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep up the good work, dear friend, because as we fellowship with Him, a Christian can move amongst the people of God and rejoice in Him. Now, there's so many lonely people out there, aren't there? So many lonely people. I was visiting the other day, went way out in the country, somewhere near Silver City. And I got there, and this lady's about 86 years old, and she has a big farm-type place out there. And, you know, she was mowing the grass. She was doing mighty well, and I came up very slowly on her. I didn't want to startle her or anything. I came up very slowly to her, and she turned the mower off and went in the house and talked for 2 hours. As I listened to her, I realized how some people are always alone. And oh, praise God for companionship and fellowship and those wonderful things. We are a spiritual family in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the fellowship. Wonderful, dear friend. Oh, let's grow in the Lord in that way, to continue to grow in the things of the Lord. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And it says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, it says if we say that we have no sin. Now, the Christian, we're saved. Our sins have been taken away. But it says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, a Christian is conscious of his sin that he has. The penalty has been taken away, and praise the Lord. And you know, it shows the fact that Christ was manifested to take away our sins, and they have been taken away, and we have victory over sin's power. And isn't that the wonderful thing of it? The power of sin has been broken. It has been taken away. Still, the devil has not had his final desserts yet, and he is a strong foe. I was reading how, in an interesting story on World War II, I was a young boy during World War II, but I remember much about it. And it was talking about how that even though Germany was beaten down already, they could not conquer Germany. And it was only even as the Allied armies moved across France and met in Berlin, the Russian armies met from the other way, block by block, house by house, until the end came and every foe was broken down. You know, that's the way it's going to be with the devil. He's not going to give up till King Jesus comes back and rules and reigns. You know, the work of Satan is strong today. And even we as Christians feel that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Several automobiles ago, I had a car with one of the loudest horns on it I have ever seen. And you know, I enjoyed that horn. And one day I was in a parking area, and this man started blowing his horn at me, and the old nature's there, you know. I mean, it's there. I've been saved a lot of years, but the Lord spoke to me on that, and you know, I let down on that horn, and my wife always said it sounded like a freight train, and it did. I don't know why that car horn was so loud, and I gave him a few toots, and he quit tooting. I won the battle, you know, and I thought to myself, that is the old nature. Lord, please forgive me. We have that old nature. You know, it says if we don't toot our own horns, we won't get it tooted. But it also says if we toot our own horns too much, we verily run it down our batteries. You know, we do. And so I realized that. Sometimes I'd say to go to make, can I blow it?
No, don't blow it. So I wouldn't blow it. But you know, dear friend, there's that old nature there, no matter how long we're saved, and even though the penalty of sin is taken away, we have victory as far as the power of sin is concerned. We aren't away from the presence of sin. And dear Christian friend, let me say this to each of our hearts. Let's remember the Apostle Paul, who fought the good fight, who kept the faith, and who finished the course. Let's go on for Jesus. Our souls are saved, and we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can fail our Lord. As the years go by, we can fail Him, and we can do things which hurt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's realize we still have sin in that light. It's been taken care of. But it says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But notice it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Note, if we confess our sins. Now the word confess, we know, means to agree with, to say the same thing. Now, of course, it's used in different ways, and we have to look at it in the context. For instance, remember the verse that says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and so forth. Well, that is a public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ there. Here, it's speaking to the Christian. If we as Christians, it goes back to those of us who know the Lord, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, as far as judicially, we have been forgiven of our sins. They've all been taken away. Thank the Lord for that. Our sins have been taken away. They are gone. And you know, as you think about even the courts in our land in which we live, think of being tried for something. Think of being brought there before the jury and the judge and all of those things. You know, dear friend, Jesus paid the price for our sins. He took our guilt. And we're declared righteous. And that's the joy of it. But also there is the practical side of this. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I believe this has to do with cleansing, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this, I believe, is talking about our fellowship. We can have greater fellowship with the Lord as we confess our sins. And dear friend, come before the Lord every day of your life. May I come before the Lord every day of my life, confessing our sins to Him, asking Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And some things we are not even aware of, things that we do, things that are unconscious in our life. Let's ask the Lord to cleanse us. Oh, the joy of the wonderful cleansed way in the Lord. That's a powerful Christian life. It has to do with joy. You know, the joyful life in the Christian life is a life of a fellowship. If we have wonderful fellowship with the Lord and with our brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's one of the secrets of this great joy. If we stay off to ourselves, if we do not mingle with the people of God, if we do not keep in real touch with the Lord as we should, we'll not enjoy the fellowship we have with the Lord. You know, traveling a lot, In the area in which we live, I don't know about here, but it's easy to get out of touch, isn't it? It's easy to get out of touch with people. Let's keep in touch. Let's keep in touch with each other. I'm sure that you do. But what a blessing it is. What a help it is. And dear friend, have friends that you can talk things over with. Have friends that you can, at times of need, that will in confidence, you can talk with them about some problems of life. And really enjoy the fellowship with the Lord and with the Lord's people. And go to every meeting you have. I mean every meeting you have here. Be at every one that you can. Now, I realize health and things like that come into place in life. But let's remember, every meeting that we can come to, let's do it. We need every message we can get from the Word of God. We need every prayer, every fellowship, every bit of it that we can have
in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so very important. One brother went to see another brother on one occasion who hadn't been coming out to the meetings and all. It was in the days when they used to have the coal that they would burn in the fireplace, and they'd have those hot coals there burning, warm heat and so forth. And he didn't say anything much, but he took the poker and pushed and pulled one of the coals off from the rest of the fire. And they sat there and watched as the coal went out and was not warm as it was. Oh, dear friend, let's keep the fires burning. Amen. Let's keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ in Him. It is a life of fellowship. It is a life of walking, secondly, in the light. Walking in the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin to the believer there. We walk, secondly, in the light. Thirdly, we walk in confession of sin. We confess our sins daily to the Lord, not because they have not been forgiven judicially, but because in a practical sense, we can walk with the Lord and walk with Him. I was reading Harry Ironside's, one of his books recently, some of the best, I think, written in the Word of God. And of course, he died, I believe, in 1951, greatly used of the Lord. And he was saying this. He said, you know, a lot of times we think of we're being made more like Christ, day by day struggling with it. But he brought out this angle of it. We're made like the Lord Jesus Christ because we've already been declared to be righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot help but to become more like Him. There is the practical side of it. And I don't have time now, but I've been looking through a lot of the verses I could think of, and I haven't been able to prove him wrong. I think he was right when he said that we are being made more like the Lord Jesus Christ in the things of the Lord. Oh, dear friend, fullness of joy. As we look at the great truth here this morning, we have fullness of joy. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Oh, how do we have a full life of joy? Fellowship, walking in the light, number two, confession of sin to the Lord daily, and cleansing in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. Well, I wish you could go on more, but that's enough. You know, I think if we can take in that much, that's a lot, isn't it, to take in. I find a verse or two, or a few words in the Word, and we'll take up, if the Lord leads tonight. I'd like to be sensitive to that tonight, if the Lord leads, we'll take up with that. We like to break it down. I knew a preacher who kept getting longer and longer and longer. And he finally got so he was preaching an hour and 50 minutes at a time. But I find you have to break them up. That is. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful joy that we have in the Lord. If there's one here today who is under any burden at all, who is under any problems or sadnesses, we know we have many in this life, sickness, this, that, and the other, whatever. Or if in younger life, the young problems that we have in life, we pray that you'll give that one great comfort and joy in these areas that we have. And may we be full of joy, and may we turn aside from the things of this world and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be every day of our lives a joyful Christian, because we have our eyes on you. May we fellowship with you and with one another in precious and sweet fellowship through the joy and the glory of the Lord. There be one not saved, and may that one be saved before he leaves this place today. Bring us together again.